Well, as most know, we are now partway through a very short series of talks about the so-called seven sayings from the cross. This week, we have in fact reached midway. As we noted on previous weeks, the first three of the seven sayings focused on the needs of others, but this, the fourth, the central and the longest of the sayings is very, very different. Our Bible reading comes from Mark's Gospel. It's in chapter 15. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And with him they crucified two robbers. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by derided him. The chief priests with the scribes also mocked him, and those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you forsake me?" Allowing for the way in which the Jews marked the time of the day, our reading makes it clear that our Lord was crucified about 9 o'clock in the morning. But at high noon, an awful, eerie, unnatural darkness enveloped the land. So it was that if our Lord's birth had been heralded, marked by a supernatural burst of light during the night time, his death was now marked by a supernatural darkness for 3 hours from midday. As God cloaked, as God shrouded the land in a darkness which served, in part at least, to veil from men's prying eyes that fearful transaction conducted between him and his sinless, but now sin-bearing, son. We have no record of any words uttered audibly by our Lord during his 3 hours of desolation. But at the end of the period of darkness, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus loudly uttered this, the most harrowing cry ever to pierce the skies, a cry of desolation, which, unless I'm mistaken, not only rent the air around him, but rang through the very courts of heaven itself. And every word of his cry was significant. My God, why did you? I can understand why my nation disowned and forsook me. For I came to my own, and my own received me not. My own received me not. I understand full well their rejection, recognizing, so they claim, no king but Caesar. Yes, I understand that. And I can understand why Judas betrayed me, and Peter denied me, and indeed, why all my disciples, who had once forsaken everything for my sake, had now forsaken me and fled. I understand, yes, I understand why, at the place Gethsemane, I was deserted and forsaken by my disciples, and why at the place Gabbatha, I was forsaken by my nation. But why now, at the place Golgotha, did you abandon and forsake me? Why did you deny me any sense of your presence? For 3 hours, my eyes have seen no sunlight. But why could I not have been granted just one glimpse of the sunshine of your face, of the light of your countenance? My God, why did you forsake me? Yes, I understand you once telling Moses that when your people Israel would worship other gods and would forsake you, that your anger would be kindled against them and that you would forsake them. Yes, I understand. Why, because of their repeated sin, you later forsook your house, the temple here in Jerusalem. Why did you forsake me? Forsake me? Your own beloved son, the one you loved before the foundation of the world, the one who loved you more than anything or anyone else. So that I was able to say earlier, therefore my father loves me because I laid down my life, and as the supreme act and demonstration of my love, that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Why did you forsake me, your son, who treasured your presence above anything else? Who could say to the Jews, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And to my disciples, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Why did you dry up that sacred stream of communion and loving fellowship which flowed throughout my earthly life and abandon me to judgment? Why? After enjoying your smile for over 12,000 days, have I now had to endure your frown for 3 agonizing hours? Why did my anguish cries rise up to a silent heaven? Ah, our Lord knew well why. His words, my God, why did you forsake me, were in fact a quotation from the Old Testament, from the first verse of one of David's Psalms, the 3rd verse of which holds the key to everything. But you are holy. Yes, he, the sinless one, had been forsaken, and necessarily forsaken by the Holy One, for although there was no cause in the Lord Jesus personally that God should forsake him, far from it, yet as the Apostle Paul so carefully expressed it, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In the familiar language of Isaiah chapter 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He, the sinless one, became our sin bearer and stood in our place. And for that reason, and for that reason only, as he knew, God hid his face from him. For that reason only, God forsook him. Earlier, our Lord had suffered from men because he was righteous. Now he suffered from God, not because he was righteous, but because Malcolm wasn't. And so it was that because the sinless one was made sin for me, the beloved one was forsaken for me. Did God then actually forsake his only begotten and well-beloved son? Did he actually hide his face from the only sinless, spotless, perfect man that ever lived? Did he actually close his ear to the cry of one who'd lived only to do his will and glorify his name? Yes, God did all of these. And why, pray? Because he knew that there was no other way for us sinners to be saved. As the Apostle Paul once expressed it, if a person is put right with God through the law, through, that is, his or her efforts and works, it means that Christ died for nothing. and our Lord's cry of dereliction warns us never to minimize either the enormity, the horror, and the loathsomeness of our sins, or the cost, the immeasurable cost, of our salvation. But for those whose trust is in him alone for their salvation, it is sheer bliss to know that the very same Saviour who himself was once forsaken for us has pledged that we shall never be forsaken by him. For the New Testament assures us, and I quote, that he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Make no mistake. He prayed the prayer, my God, why did you forsake me, that I might never have to pray it. I close with the words of a hymn. It was written just a little over 150 years ago. Oh, hear that piercing cry. What can its meaning be? My God, oh why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, 'twas because our sins on him by God were laid. He who himself had never sinned, for sinners sin was made. Shall we pray?